Green tech is making it possible to keep milk cold in places that might be off the grid by using the power of the sun. And according to our next guest, technology is also the answer to sustainably feeding the world's growing population, but perhaps not in the way you might be imagining. Biohacking. It's all about applying technology in innovative ways to modify life systems like cells, plants, animals, even Homo sapiens. Swedish biohacker Hannes Sveblad believes it's all about the democratization of access to powerful technologies for the benefit of humankind. He's also convinced that biohacking can help the Earth and the environment. I started off by asking him to give an example.
There are now a lot of startups in this domain, which we call digital biology or synthetic biology, where, for example, entrepreneurs can modify the genes of yeast cells to make them produce milk. So we can now produce milk without cows. We know that the meat and the dairy industry is incredibly resource inefficient. We know that the current food production systems on the planet simply cannot sustain 7 billion inhabitants who would like to have the type of diet that you and I are used to. So we need to make those systems 100 times more efficient. And digital biology has the solution to these things, because by producing milk in vitro, we can make the process 10 to 100 times more energy efficient. A cow is not very good in converting grass energy into milk. I mean, more than 99% of the energy is lost on the way.
What's lost in the cow?
A cow uses more than 90% of the energy it consumes just for its own metabolism, to keep warm and to move around, to grow horns and stuff. Yeah, to live, right? So just because we used to do it from the Stone Age onwards, it doesn't mean we need to do it tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, and it's very seductive, especially if you're concerned about animal rights and animal welfare and are aware of the condition that a lot of animals are kept these days. But there's a very strong concern about keeping things natural, right? It's almost a fetish. We have to keep things natural because if it's made in a laboratory, if it's synthetic, it's unnatural and it can't be good for you. So what is your response to that?
We humans, we have an instinctive tendency to be skeptical of new things, of things that we don't fully understand how it works and what the consequences of it are. And if you look into tech history, which is what I do a lot, being the tech geek I am, every new technology has encountered resistance. When we've had the first cars that were not pulled by horses, people were so worked up about them that they made laws, both in the UK and the US, that there must be a man walking in front of these horseless cars with a red flag. It's called the Red Flag Acts. And, you know, over time, we learned that there's maybe not a point to have a gentleman walking with the flag in front of every car. Over time, we get used to it. So this is just one out of many examples. So I believe that once we acquaint ourselves with these technologies, we will come to see them as something very normal. On a higher level, my personal view is that the whole dichotomy between nature, humans, and technology is false. I think that there is no difference. I think that technology is natural. If we imagine a bird nest, for example, is that nature or is it technology? Well, the bird is making some kind of artificial construct, but I would consider the bird applying technology to make a nest, like we build houses. And over time, therefore, I think that smartphones is natural. Smartphones are a consequence of human ingenuity, you know, in the veins that started with us using fire. And we have to accept the fact that the world is not the same that it used to be, that we now need to host 7 billion humans on this planet, and we need to modify the systems we have to cater for this population. Because the current way of doing things is very much not sustainable. We are overfishing, we are overpolluting, we're cutting down rainforests to feed beef cows. It's absolutely not sustainable. And for me, the solution is not politics. The solution is not citizen or consumer activism. The solution must be technology.
That's very interesting. The precautionary principle is actually enshrined in the EU and European kind of approach, and especially in the Scandinavian countries as well. Do you see a dissonance with the precautionary principle and the biohacking that you're talking about?
We must see the precautionary principle in context. So coming to the point of biohacking, of course, we need to be careful, and we need to be science-based, and we need to be evidence-based. We have the long-going debate about genetically modified food, for example, which is, in the scientific community, no longer a conversation, because it's absolutely proven that there is no harm at all to consume genetically modified organisms. After all, they just contain genes like every living organism does. It still exists in certain lobby groups, a resistance to GMOs. But my perspective is that if we are going to cater for a growing world population, we need to apply genetic modification to our food production system a lot more than we do today.
Well, I'd say it's not just lobby groups. I'd say that there's also among the public substantial resistance to consuming something that's been genetically modified.
Unfortunately, based on ignorance, to be frank. Well, I think the same principle applies to adopting any new technology. Let people try, see how it works, understand how it works, and then people can make their own decisions.